Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking to the president of Cleveland State University, Dr. Laura Bloomberg, and we've been here before. We are very grateful. Dr. Bloomberg is the eighth president, if I'm not mistaken, of Cleveland State, and we've talked about many different things in the past, and I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to speak with you again.
It's good to be here with you again.
Thank you. And there's so many things going on at Cleveland State. Integrated degrees, I heard something about this, and I think that from what I gather that people, this is the first university around that's doing this.
That's correct.
And let's talk a little bit about that. How does that work?
Well, if we back up and think about why people go to college and what they want to do, they want to make a difference in the world in some way. And there are a few things happening in the world that lend themselves to one specific narrow discipline. And the opportunity to get a double major or major in two different degrees is afforded to some people, but it takes more time and it's more expensive and it takes a lot more planning. And not everybody's going to be able to do that. The idea behind integrated degrees was to say, let's identify those areas that really, they work well together. The community says it's important for us to have people who have this combination of skills. And we have students interested in both of those things. So the example that I used in my State of the University was somebody who wanted to get a degree in computer science because they were really interested in web design or gaming design. But they were interested in the design part of that. How do you make it appealing? How do you make it compelling for humans to access it? That suggests a degree in design or art and design.
Right.
What if we integrated those, a degree in computer science and design? A degree in computer science and journalism, a degree in engineering and mathematics. So we looked at bringing two separate degrees together, and for the same amount of credits, the same amount of time, the same amount of cost, you can get an integrated degree in both of those areas. This is something that's been done very successfully at a university in Boston, in Northeastern. So we really looked to them, but we are the first public university in Ohio to launch them.
Do you think that companies will they openly accept this, or will there be a little bit of pushback at first, do you think?
We turned to the business community in designing these. So two summers ago, when we had faculty really working hard over the summer, just a parenthetical comment for anybody who thinks that faculty aren't working in the summer, they're working really hard on
right.
these kinds of things. We brought in leaders from at least 40, I don't have the exact number, at least 40 companies to say, help us pressure test this idea. What makes sense, what doesn't make sense, as you think about the kinds of leaders you want to employ in your field. So they provided a lot of input. And then we also went back out. I've shared it with my colleagues in the Greater Cleveland Partnership in some of our, with some of our key partners like Sherwin-Williams, the Cleveland Clinic. And they have been very supportive. So, you know, the proof is in the pudding, I realize. But early indications are that our community partners, employers, want this and see a tremendous value in it.
Now, how many different programs are there available for people to have integrated degrees?
Right now, we have 11 integrated degrees that have been approved. And we have a few more that are in the hopper waiting to be approved. And if you're going to ask me for this specific list, I'm going to have to go find it. A lot of them are related to a STEM field and a humanities or arts and sciences field. Journalism and computer science. Mathematics and mechanical engineering. English and computer science. Not all of them, but that's a very kind of popular way of thinking about integrating degrees.
Just out of curiosity, communications and journalism.
Yes, exactly. Another one that seems to have a lot of energy around it is criminology and psychology.
So that would go hand in hand.
Yeah. I think that the idea of understanding the complexity of what society is asking of college graduates is going to transform higher ed, or should transform higher ed, and this is one example of what that could look like.
It seems like college, a lot of people would say, well, okay, you got the textbook knowledge, you've read the books, but when you get on the streets, it's a different ballgame.
Yep.
dealing with the reality of what things are like out there. And sometimes back in the day, graduates weren't quite ready for that. And I think these other degrees will force them to open their minds up and do other things and get out there and get involved.
That is the hope. That and as we prepare to launch our next strategic plan, the other thing is that we need to recommit to or double down on our efforts to create lived experience opportunities for our students, whether that be co-ops or internships or job shadowing, the opportunities to understand how they will actually apply their degree in the world outside of the university.
I think that's very important to
do. I do too.
Because, you know, once you read something in a book, it's, you know, you, but when you do it and then you work with somebody in the field, you know, like broadcasting, you know, people could say, well, I'll be a broadcaster, I'll just get behind a mic and talk. There's so much more to it than that. You got to learn to do all these other things and think quickly and work, you know, have a little clock in your head to know how long to, you know. So it does take a while. Now, what are some of the other things going on at Cleveland State that we should be aware of?
Well, let's see. We are in the midst of preparing to launch our next strategic plan. I'm very excited about that. The current strategic plan was always set to sunset at the end of this year. It took us through, you know, the years following the pandemic. So in 2025, I hope early in 25, we will, maybe by the end of January, we will launch a strategic plan that will guide our work for the next 6 years through 2030. That has been, I would say it has been a delightfully inclusive process. We have worked hard to get input from across campus. And sometimes I think in higher ed, we take so darn long to do some of these things.
Red tape.
Yep. And committees and convening, and that's all important. But we can also leverage technology to do things quite quickly. So, for instance, we've been holding community forums online where hundreds of people zoom in, hear an overview. Here's where we are now. These are the 9 strategies under 3 priorities we're thinking about. We're going to pause, and here's a QR code. Hit the code and give us your immediate feedback, and we'll be back to you in 10 minutes. So in real time, we're asking people to provide us input. And by doing so, we get input from hundreds of people, as opposed to dozens of people who might show up for a focus group or in-person meetings. I don't always think that that kind of online engagement is preference or is the preferred approach. In this instance, it has served us really well, and we've been able to adapt in real time and adjust and get this strategic plan developed in about 6 months, which is pretty quick.
That's great, because a lot of people can't always come to in person.
Exactly.
They're, you know, wherever they are around the state, and they're busy, and I think that's great.
Yep.
And a lot of your alum, the alumni, do they contribute a lot to this?
Yes. Well, a couple of things about that. First of all, we've engaged alums, and we will be engaging alums next week, I believe, or sometime soon. We'll have one final meeting with our alumni association to lay out the big parameters of the strategic plan and get their feedback. But also, we've thought a lot about our alums in recent months, because we pretty audaciously say that we power the economy of Northeast Ohio. We have 165,000, not quite that many, I'm looking at 45,000 alums. And if 80% of them stay in this region 10 years and oftentimes much longer after graduation, then you know that we have a lot of people who are in leadership roles here.
Yeah.
You know, a disproportionate number of our Supreme Court justices are graduates of our law school. So I think about our alums also as the employers and the future employers of our students, the people who are supervising our student interns in the community. They're running our banks and our law firms and our manufacturing companies, our nonprofits. Those are our alums, and those are the people who are informing us about what kind of curriculum we need, and they are also employing our graduates.
Well, that's a feather in your cap, you know, to involve them and get them involved, because Cleveland State, whenever I mention Cleveland State, wherever I go, if I'm at a party or something, I'm like, hey, how many Cleveland State graduates are out there? A lot of hands raised.
It's a lot.
And they love Cleveland State like I do. I love the university, and it's back in the day, it was a, you know, a commuter college, didn't have a great reputation. Now it does.
I think that's something to be very, very proud of.
It is. And it's got so much to offer. New buildings going up, lot big curriculum, and a lot of resources for people to get where they want to go.
I'm super proud of it. One of the things that is, it's a kind of a fun story. I was on a panel for a Greater Cleveland Partnership, a GCP annual event, and it was going to be a number of questions about diversity in the workplace. I was there with Chris Gorman from KeyBank and the time the CEO of Metro Health. And when it was my turn to speak first, just on a whim, I said, how many of you in the audience are a CSU, hold at least one, if not more, degrees from CSU? And honest to goodness, maybe a third of the audience is extreme, but at least 25% of the audience. Now think about this, that's 2,000 people, and these are leaders in the business community across the greater Cleveland area. 25% at least, by the show of hands, the hands were up everywhere. And afterwards, people were coming up to me and telling me their CSU story. Like, it was hard to get out of the ballroom because people were coming up and said, you know, if it weren't for CSU, I wouldn't be doing this. If not for CSU, this wouldn't be happening for me. So that became the theme of my State of the University address and a follow-along theme on social media. So we're posting these beautiful stories that people have told us about how this institution transformed their lives under the hashtag, if not for CSU. It's been really fun.
Now, we've had 7 other presidents that have done wonderful work at this university, but there was a few loose ends, and you've been able to tie a lot of this together and just take this forward in a way that I've never seen before.
Well, thank you for saying that.
And I think it's just amazing. I have friends that have been to a lot of Ivy League colleges, and we talked about, you know, the difference between Cleveland State and, say, Yale. You can get just as good of education here. The only difference is some of the connections at those universities are a little bit, you know, more, you know, you can take it a little farther, but that's about it.
They might have higher level connections. I'd say another big difference, though, that is part of the value proposition is the cost difference.
Yes.
Because you can get a degree here for a scale of magnitude, less money. So that I think we're doing a lot of things right. I think we need to do a better job of conveying that value proposition. And actually, as a higher ed person, that always seemed like a business term I wasn't very comfortable with. But it's true. We must communicate with people about why a degree from here makes so much sense. What is the value proposition? When we get that right, because we do have it, we just don't communicate it well. We're busy doing the work, not touting our work sometimes. And the story is a powerful one. The return on investment is a powerful story. The cost-benefit analysis and our ability to create social mobility is really impressive.
I was thinking on those very lines that some of the more prominent alum from Cleveland State could say those things and possibly a public service announcement or a commercial, maybe like Tim Misney for the law, the law college and, you know, the Marshall College of Law, to say, hey, I got a degree here. It changed my life. You know, and then they see some of these more prominent people that say that.
If not for CSU, right?
For CSU, and I mean that too. Even though I don't, my degree, I don't have one officially. what I learned here is immeasurable, and it's kept me going. And I love Cleveland State. I mean, I learned how to write here better. I mean, I learned everything I should have learned in high school. I learned here, and I got so much better at it. And people were helping me, and I understood things better. And I got to be exposed to art history and this and that. And it's like urban studies. And, you know, it broadened my horizons.
I love hearing that. And, you know, these people who have had an enormous impact on this community, and some of them are quite regionally well-known or regionally famous. Their names are on buildings, and they're on the names of our colleges. Don Washkowitz, the longtime CEO of Parker Hannifin, the Washkowitz College of Engineering, or Monty Ahuja, whose name is on many medical facilities around the community and is also the name of our business. He's the Monte Ahuja College of Business is on our campus. But then so many other people whose names might not be as well known but have had enormous impact all over the community because of what they've learned here. And what is I love about this is it's a bit of a virtuous cycle because I think it motivates our faculty who want to stay here. It's not always easy to be in an urban serving regional campus with a high percentage of low-income students. It's not the same kind of environment as an institution where there's a lot of resources and a lot more money rolling around. But we have faculty who are so inspired by what our students go on to do that it makes them commit to this place and stay and make their home in Cleveland. And it animates our campus and our community in a really interesting way when that happens.
The other thing is getting the faculty from other places to come here.
Correct.
And that has to be a challenge. Even though that they know they're learning more about Cleveland State, it still has to be a challenge to try to get the certain professors and what have you to do certain programs.
Yeah. I think, well, sometimes it's the programs that's the draw, and then it's getting people to want to come to Cleveland. And two things. First of all, I maintain as somebody who's still a relative newcomer here, you get somebody to Cleveland. Don't talk to them about Cleveland. Get them here. And the city sells itself in a lot of ways. It certainly did for me. And the other thing we've learned is that we need to build our partnerships with people who do this well. So, for instance, Destination Cleveland is a really great partner. And we share resources. We link to their website on our website because they're talking about Cleveland as they're selling Cleveland.
Right.
And all of the great opportunities. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel in doing some of that.
And the other thing that brings people to universities is the athletics. And the Cleveland State men's and women's basketball team have been very successful, in the past and currently, too.
Yes. I've been going to some of their practices as they're getting ready for the season. We played, I think, our first exhibition game last night. I couldn't be there because I had another commitment. But both teams are looking great. Both coaches are fired up. They're really excited about the teams that they have. Here's a cool thing about our men's and women's basketball teams. You know, it's not all about being under-resourced, but I do have to say this. Comparatively, we do not fund our athletics programs at a wildly extravagant level, which means that they have to make a dollar go a really long way. And in some ways, that translates into a higher level of local kids, young adults on those teams. So we have a disproportionately high level of students from the area. Certainly we recruit nationally for our teams, but a disproportionately high level of young adults are from 20, 30 miles from home. And we have winning teams.
Right.
I think that's a beautiful thing.
It is. A lot of kids that may fall through the cracks at larger universities like Ohio State or wherever.
Or couldn't even probably get on the team as a walk-on are here playing with us.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably some kids that could play at Kentucky, but they wouldn't even look at them. And Cleveland State's extremely competitive. And I was at a number of games last year. They're a wonderful team. And I just wish they had more. I wish people around would come and their attendance would grow a little bit.
Yeah. I wish that too. Sometimes I think, though, that visually it looks like less people because we're in a 13,000-seat arena. You know, by comparison, the arena that the Duke basketball team plays in is like 6,000.
Right.
So they could fill it. They could fill their arena, and we'd move that population here, and we'd say it was less than half full.
Right.
So that's a chance. I too wish more people would come, and I kind of want to cluster people all together so you can see that it's not a small fan base.
And maybe television would be nice to have them on or streaming because the more people that can't get out could still watch the games.
Well, and when we do have the games streamed, I think we can do a better job of helping people see where they can see it.
Yes, because I would love to watch more games. I can't always get down here. But,
but to see them online.
That's right. And Dr. Bloomberg, finally, where do you see Cleveland State in 2030?
Right here on Euclid between... Where do do I see Cleveland State in 2030?
Yeah.
I see us, well, I certainly see us thriving. I wouldn't work so doggone hard if I didn't see us thriving. I don't see us, candidly, measuring our growth success in terms of increased enrollment. I see us measuring our growth success in terms of a substantially increased graduation rate and student success rate, meaning that when we admit a student, we help them persist through graduation to achieve their goals and get the kind of job or career achieve the career aspirations they've set for themselves. I see that happening by 2030. I see us growing in supporting the needs of the region in terms of workforce, but I always hasten to say I don't want to be focused on workforce. I want to be focused on talent development for the community and the region, which means we produce good citizens, not just good workers.
Yes.
That said, we know there's a crying need for more nurses. There's a huge need to populate our diagnostics and research labs in healthcare, and this we're a healthcare community with the Cleveland Clinic, University Hospitals,
right. Metro.
I see us producing the kinds of STEM scholars that this region needs with knowledge about quantum computing and artificial intelligence and medical research. And I see us having nationally ranked programs where we are particularly strong. And I point to, in particular, our urban studies program and where we can be a leader and continue to be a leader in local government management and urban affairs. So those are some of the things I see.
Well, I like that. That sounds great. Will the campus expand?
There's a complex answer, and I'm trying to give you a brief answer here. I believe that the way higher education is transforming, we have more online programs now than we've ever had. Mm-hmm. So one answer would be to say, yes, absolutely, the campus will expand in terms of our technological reach. That's different than the built environment. So I think that how we conceive of a campus for a university is changing. How we think about a library for a university is changing. So will our campus expand in terms of its overall footprint? Maybe no. In terms of infill and how we rehabilitate and reuse or reimagine space, yes. But I believe it will be greater density and not greater extension, at least for now. That's my sense of it.
Well, that sounds great. Dr. Blumberg, thank you for being on the Ray Carr Show, and thank you for sharing those ideas.
Thanks, as always, for making the time to talk with me.
Always a pleasure. Any way I can be of help to this office?
You're awesome. Thanks. You always ask. It's great. Oh, my gosh.